This evening we're looking at John 1:14. We sing a song, Emmanuel, God with us. And as you know, without Christ there would be no Christmas. And when you think of the greatest days in human history, certainly Jesus coming to this earth is one of the greatest days. Him living on this earth were great days, but him dying on the cross was another great day in human history. Him rising again from the dead, another great day. Ascending into heaven, seated at the right hand, inviting us to come to his throne of grace. Great days. And you know, there's a day coming when we will see Jesus face to face. It's either when you take your last breath here on earth or when he comes for us. But Jesus Christ is coming for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Christmas is filled with all kinds of traditions. Traditions you have, traditions growing up, traditions you're passing on to your own children and family. And traditions are okay. It's a good thing. I mean, one of the traditions is a tree. I know some people aren't into Christmas trees, but just from the beginning, it was Martin Luther in Germany that had a Christmas tree, and he used it as a symbol of evergreen tree for everlasting life. Also in Germany came the candy cane, and initially it was just white, and then they made it white into a staff. And then after that, the white was for the purity of Christ, but later they put red around it to signify the blood of Christ. They made it into like a shepherd's staff, representing Jesus as our shepherd and Lord. So there's many great traditions that you have, and that's great. Have those traditions, enjoy them, be blessed by them. But today we talk about the truth, and no matter what tradition you or I have, the truth is to be exalted. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we exalt Jesus every time when we're together, but certainly today as we're looking at this one verse out of John 1:14. We find ourselves, if you're able to come back next week, in a continual verse-by-verse study through John's gospel. We happen to be in chapter 16. But when we started in 1:14 over 30 weeks ago, we made it known that every gospel was written with a specific intention in mind. Not an intention that I make up or some Bible scholar makes up, but the Word of God says in John chapter 20 that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in these books, but these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Now this is so important because the prophets all spoke all the way to Malachi in the Old Testament. So this book is the Word of God. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. He is the Word. This is his Word. He is the Word. We exalt the Word of God. That's why your life is blessed, because you believe the Word of God. You trust God's Word. And in those 39 books in the Old Testament, it ends with Malachi. And there's before Matthew begins, the first book of the New Testament, there was a 400-year period of time. 400 years. I mean, what's our nation, 250 or something like that? But 400 years of silence. There was no prophetic prophet on the scene speaking for God. Silence. And all of a sudden, as we sang the songs tonight, the skies opened up with a huge choir singing. And Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came to earth. I suppose he could have come in many different ways. Adam and Eve came as mature adults. He could have perhaps come that way. But he chose to come as a baby, as an infant, completely dependent. And it's to be able to identify with everybody in this world, everybody he identifies with. And the Word became flesh. Jesus leaves eternity. He puts on our flesh and comes to this earth. And he dwells amongst us. He lives a perfect and a sinless life. And it leads him from the crib to the cross. And they put a crown of thorns on his head. And he completed his mission on earth. And here's the interesting thing, just something to think about. He left the glory of heaven and took on human flesh to come to this earth to identify with us, to save us. And when his mission was completed, his death, burial, and his resurrection, he rose in a glorified body. But in all eternity, he'll still be wearing the body that he had here on earth, a glorified body. And it's just very humbling when you think about that. There's four little bullet points looking at this one verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Four things would be, we're loved by God, we're forgiven by God, we have peace with God, and we can walk with God. Just four simple truths. Loved by God. God so loved the world that he gave. Now again, at this time, some people are opposed to presents because of the over-commercialization of Christmas and gift-giving, and I understand that. But it's not really necessarily a scriptural choice you're making. It's a personal choice. Because God led the way when his Son came, Jesus Christ. It says, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us a Savior. He gives us all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He continually gives to us and bestows upon us his goodness and his grace and his love and his mercy. Loved by God. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. And we saw in John's gospel that if you are a follower of Christ, you are loved by God. You're called a friend of God. Some have difficulty understanding this great gift. In Romans chapter 5, there's verses 6 through 8. I'll read it slowly and just take this in. Paul is speaking and trying to explain the importance of having a relationship with God. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die for. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when we're talking about the love of God, we're talking about when you and I were in perfect rebellion towards God. How many sins does it take to make a sinner? One sin. And we've all sinned. We all are part of that. As I've said many times, I'm S-I-N positive, and so is the human race. And God says, that's not the way I wanted it. I created you, Adam and Eve, to have fellowship with me. I've given you free choice and a free will. You can make your decisions. You can choose to do what you want to do. But it doesn't take away from the fact that I love you. And when the human race sinned against God, God said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, right after the event happened, He told us of a plan of salvation that he would have throughout human history. When we're looking and seeing what Isaiah said in Isaiah that we read today regarding, for unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That was written by Isaiah the prophet 700 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. We can trust full-heartedly the word of God. And God is saying to you and to me today that God so loved the world that he loves you. He became flesh because he loved you. How does he demonstrate his love for us? In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. It's a hard thing many times for us as individuals to experience and receive the love of God. Because we're of the mindset and we've been trained that our life is measured by our performance from the very youngest age to whatever age you are today. When you're going through school or in sports and academics or in careers, in your own household, there's comparisons and there's this always sense of never being good enough and measuring up. And all, and I would underline, all world religions are based on the fact that you have not done enough yet. You still need to do more to gain the love of whatever God they're trying to report to you as the true God. My friends, there is only one true and living God. It's Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say, I am one of the ways that you may want to choose. He made it absolutely clear to us. Nobody else has left heaven and come to earth, lived a perfect life. Pilate would say, what fault do you find in Jesus? He says, I find no fault in him. He lived a perfect life. You can't deny that. History proves it. All history centers around his life here. Before our college degrees, it would say in the year of the Lord. Year in history and life was measured about the time before Christ came, B.C., and the time after Christ came, A.D., all of human history. You know, you're tweaking it right now, calling it the common error and all that, but that is a common error to make. Jesus came, and he loves us so much. And it's so important to be in a place to receive the love of God, realizing there's nothing you bring to the table to convince him to love you. The only thing you bring to the table is your brokenness and saying, God, I can't, but you can. And you did. So we talk about the love of God. The second point is forgiven by God. It says, and you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if anyone, and I've met many people through my life, and I continue to meet people that they don't think there's a sin issue in their life. They report to me that they have no sin, that they're sinless, you know. And they say, well, why are you laughing? I says, I've never met somebody like that. Congratulations. That's fantastic. Are you deity? I mean, are you God? I mean, I've never met. And I just kind of work it until they get frustrated and curse at me. Said, oh, bummer, man, your first sin. Now you know you need Jesus. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Notice in chapter 1 John 1, 8 through 10, it says, if you say you don't have sin, you deceive yourself. But if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Jesus a liar, and his word is not in us. Isaiah, that prophet, 700 years before Christ came, said in chapter 1, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My friends, to be forgiven by God, completely forgiven. That's the problem in this world today. The problem in the world is people are trying to live a life apart from God, apart from the love of God. And God is trying to draw people to himself through the Holy Spirit that they could experience forgiveness of sin. Think of the guilt. Think of the weightiness of guilt and shame and discouragement and despair. Think of the things that you did or didn't do, said or should have said. Think of how it haunts you. Think of how you're plagued with that. Think of how that weighs you down. And to deal with it, you make other decisions to try to take away the pain or try to rationalize it. And all God is saying is, come to me, because my blood on the cross will forgive all your sins. And he says, I'll remember them no more. As far as the east is from the west, I remember them no more. You know what it's like to push a delete button and that stuff is gone, or to get rid of tons of emails you never asked for in the first place. Gone, 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 gone. clean it up. It's, oh man, you know what it's like when your garage is just, you can't, don't even think about parking your car in it. And all of a sudden there's a day and it gets cleaned up and you take a bunch of stuff to the dump and you get rid of it. And you feel, it felt so good just throwing that stuff. Done with it. Feels good. Think about your own sin. Being able to just allow the Lord to cleanse our hearts and to take it away completely. We talked about the love of God, being forgiven by God. And then we're going to mention the peace of God. Again, looking at the scripture, and the Word became flesh. So it's saying Jesus came into the world. He is the Word. By the way, if you have trouble with identifying that as Jesus, then we would go back up to John chapter 1. At the top there in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. Darkness did not comprehend it. And that is Jesus. And we just put his name in because you can replace the Word. He is the Word. So if I said Jesus and Word, it's synonymous. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In verse 14, and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And then it says, and we beheld his glory. What was it like for the disciples and others that would see him? He didn't walk around like some of the art from Renaissance with halos around his head. they didn't have that kind of identification at all. We just made that stuff up. The glory, the presence of God dwelling amongst him. And the things he did and the things he said and the way he loved people. And we beheld his glory. And there was a time where he was on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John were there. And there was the presence, it would seem, of Elijah and Moses with him, encouraging him before the cross. And his glory was revealed. You know, and it's a magnificent thing to think about this, how his glory was concealed during his whole time on earth. But his glory, and they said, we saw his glory. And you know something? I can see the glory of the Lord today. Because it says, people will see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So as you and I really take to heart and experience the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the peace of God, begin to walk with God, your life changes. And people see there's something different. There's Christ in you. And they're attracted to the fact that Christ is in you. You're a follower of Jesus. And it's a spiritual attraction. And that gives glory to God. Because people have said to you, you're different. People have said to you, how come you don't do such and such? He said, well, I have a relationship with God. I've come to know his love and his forgiveness. It's made a difference in my life, and that gives glory to God. Having peace with God. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In this world right now, the word peace is being shout it out. We need peace. We need peace on earth. We have songs, peace on earth. Peace in the Middle East. Peace in Gaza. Peace all over the place. Peace in inner cities with crime. Peace at the borders. We need peace. You hear that cry. But the absolute gospel truth is that there will never be peace until the Prince of Peace comes to rule and reign and govern this world. But there is a peace that you and I can have today, right now, and each and every day. Because when we have peace with God, when we make peace with God, we experience the peace of God. So in the midst of turbulent times, difficulties, you're not getting thrown overboard, because there's a peace that resonates within your heart. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. There's one more point that I'd like to make tonight. I talked about the love of God, being forgiven by God, and the peace with God. And lastly, when we're again looking at this verse, and the word Jesus became flesh, he left heaven and came to earth, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We saw him in his ministry, forgiving people, bringing peace to people's lives. And the last part, he's full of grace and truth. And we think about that. That's what I want. I want to have a relationship with God, one that's based on grace, one that's based on truth. His name will be called Emmanuel in Matthew 1:23. And it means, as we sang, it means God with us. It tells us in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We saw when Enoch lived on this earth, he had this relationship with God. It says he walked with God. It seemed like something they did with frequency. But there was a time where it says he was taken to heaven with God. In a sense, he was just moved out, raptured up. Enoch just left the scene and went home. And some commentator put it this way, perhaps as he was walking with the Lord, and he said, well, I probably should get back to my home, perhaps the Lord said, well, you're closer to my home. Let's go home. Come home with me. And I want to let you know, just do the numbers. I'm closer to being at home with Jesus. I'm closer to going home with him than at any other time in my life. I just do the math real quick. And I'm looking forward to really enjoying whatever walk that I have with him. But it's a walk that's based upon his love for me. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others like he has loved you. And then it's not only this love relationship in this walk with God. I still mess up. I make mistakes. I sin. I fall short. I still think things I don't want to think. Say things like, oh man. But God reveals what's in my heart. I need him. I need him. And he forgives me. But he tells us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. And then what about peace? Even though there will not be world peace until the Prince of Peace comes to reign and rule, you can have the peace of God. You can have the peace of God today, being right with God. The peace with God will allow you to experience the peace of God in your life. And he wants to bring that peace. It was in the storm. He's in the boat. And with the words, peace, be still. And things settled down immediately. And might the Lord want to say that? Maybe you are right now going through some tough things. As a Christian, as a believer, it's hard. It is difficult. Maybe the Lord might be able to speak those words, peace be still. And it might come this way. He might say to you in the quietness of your heart, as you're reading the word, as you're reading about Jesus, he might say to you, I've got it. I have it. I have that under control. What you're carrying, I have that. Don't do the heavy lifting anymore. He might say to you, I did the heavy lifting. I lifted my hands on the cross. I died for your sins so that you can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And then we say, God, I just want to walk with you all the days of my life. Amen.